Well, that's the long and short of it. We are children of God, are we not? And if we are children of God, we're just like God, correct? The apple doesn't fall far from the tree, does it? Of course not. So we're just like God, aren't we? Yes? By how we think, by how we act, by what we say, what we do. All the long and short of it. We can show other people that we have God within us by the way we love. Not always easy, is it? No. So we're going to get into the Word of God this morning to give you some great action things to do, I guess. I'll put it that way. It's only three things. How about that? Some of you slow learners, I got some slow things for you to do. Some of you are quick at things, I got some quick things for you to do. How about that? Pretty good, huh? Boy, I got the right audience. Beautiful. Awesome, awesome, awesome. So let's turn to James chapter 1, verse 19. How about that? One scripture today. All you have to do is this one scripture for the entire rest of your life, and you will show other people love, and God will be glorified in the process too. Pretty good, huh? That's a short and long of it. Okay. Well, the long and short of it. I don't know. We're going to see how long I go. We'll find out. James 1, verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Quick to listen. Someone was listening over here. Very nice. Okay, so for the rest of you, quick to listen. God gave us two ears and one mouth. You think that's an accident? Of course not. We have to listen twice as much as we speak. And as someone who speaks an awful lot, especially now, that's something hard to do sometimes, right? Because most of the time we want to be heard, don't we? We have a lot to say. And it's kind of interesting, if you get a really good talker and a really good listener together, wow. That's a long conversation, isn't it? One person's doing all the talking, the other one's doing all the listening. It just says to be quick to listen. Be ready to listen, quick. So often we listen when someone's talking, but we're not always quick to really listen in the sense that this scripture is talking about. It's not talking about just having your ears open. It's also meaning that you are wanting to understand the other person, what they have to say. So not listening to respond, right? Don't you like to get that? You know somebody's telling you something, right? And you can't wait. You're biting at the bit. You just know the answer. You know what to tell them. You just know, you know, you're going to give your opinion. You know the right thing to say to them. You just, and are you listening? Are you listening really is the way Jesus Christ listened and God listens to us? No. God understands, listens to understand what's going on with us, right? How to best answer a person or give a person what they need if you don't know what the heck they need in the first place? How are you going to know what they need? By listening. By listening and truly caring that you have their good in mind more than your own opinion. I'll put it that way. Because if we don't really understand what a person needs, spiritually speaking especially, we might give them a wrong answer, right? 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 Do you know that people are different? I know that's profound. Everybody needs something different at a different phase or place in their life, right? Right? And when we truly are listening with our heart, not just our ears, we have their best good in mind. We're also listening to God guide us through the Holy Spirit as to what to respond. That's what the slowness about speaking is about. There needs to be a pause in between you hearing what someone says and your response. Love takes patience. Patience means waiting to really hear and understand what someone's saying. And how could you really understand what a person's saying? If you speak, you ask them a clarifying question if you don't really understand what it is they're saying. Because words can be very general. They can be something that you relate to or not. But it might mean something to everybody else that's different from what your understanding is. You understanding? Oh, very good. You're listening. Nice. Thank you. All right. So we want to be quick to listen. So as soon as someone walks in your space, you're ready to do what? Very nice. Quick. It's the first thing you think about. Now, most of us, I don't know about, well, I'll have to confess myself, right? I usually have things on my mind I have to tell people here. So that's usually what I'm thinking about when I'm leaving my car to come into the church here on a given Sunday. I can't wait to tell people what to, I mean, things they need. I mean, I have godly wisdom to impart. And somebody walks up and they have something going on, right? But if I'm so interested only in what I have to say and I'm not really stopping to pay attention to what's going on with them, what good is my wisdom? Is that godly wisdom? Not a bit. So we have to be quick to listen, be ready to listen, have your ears and your heart open for seeking to understand what's really going on with a person. How many times do we ask somebody, how are you doing? Right? What do they usually say? Fine. And fine. Somebody goes, you really want to know? Why are you asking me this? Are you going to psychoanalyze me? I'm fine. Okay, leave me alone. Oh. But if we're listening not just with our ears by the words that people say, do you know that there's such a thing called nonverbal communication? What a great group, right? We know that, right? You can look at a person, their physiology, you know, if they're slumped over and they're wringing their hands, or maybe they're walking really fast away from you, there's a slight sign that maybe something's going on in their life that's not exactly the usual, right? Listening also entails looking at people, paying attention, looking for nonverbal cues that people give us. Frowns, they're a good giveaway. Holding on to themselves. Retracting sometimes. Or not making eye contact. I love those folks here in the church especially. How are you doing? Fine. Because they know if I can catch their eye, I'm going to really look inside and see what's going on. That's a spiritual gift I have. Well, if you're going to be like Christ and have spiritual gifts, one of which is compassion and understanding, how is it that Jesus knew every person he ever met, he knew exactly what they needed? He listened. He paid attention. He watched them. I often think about the Samaritan woman, right? In the middle of the day, coming up all by herself to draw water. And I'm sure her physiology wasn't skipping and hopping and up going to get it. This is a woman that was in pain and hurting, dragging herself there, ashamed of her lifestyle, having five husbands and someone who didn't love her right now, feeling rejected by others, cast aside. That's why she had to go at noontime, not when all the other women went to draw water. Jesus is sitting there on the well resting, and sees her approaching. And he sized up the situation. He looked at her. And he looked her in the eyes, I'm sure. And saw what she needed. Before he spoke to her. We need to be quick to listen. Quick to pay attention to what's happening in other people's lives. That's what love's about. It's about really looking and caring about what's happening in someone else's life. Not just your own. So be quick to, and how do we listen? With our ears, our eyes, and our heart. Some of us have what we call empathy. We can feel another person's feelings. It's a great gift. No. Can I give that gift back, please, God? We all want everybody to feel good all the time, don't we? We want everybody to be happy. We're Christians. It's all about the good life. None of us like to see people hurt or suffer, do we? No, of course we don't. But if we don't feel their pain, we can't help alleviate it. Or if we can't even alleviate it because maybe we don't have the power to, at least we can pray for someone when you feel something from them. That's when you speak. That's the kind of speaking that I want us to be quicker about speaking. Prayer. Stopping and praying for someone when you do feel something or hear something, or you understand something about a person that's going through pain or suffering or sorrow or whatever it might be, or needs encouragement, needs uplifting. And someone might not be ready to be uplifted in that moment, by the way. Bible tells us that saying cheerful words to someone in sorrow is like, you know, I'm going to say fingers on a chalkboard. When you're not going through something good in your life, it's hard for people don't understand you if they're just saying, oh, come on, cheer up. This too shall pass. You'll be fine any second now. That's not really listening, is it? Listening is also walking alongside someone wherever they are and walking the path with them, feeling what they feel. To be there with them. Just an ear to hear all that they want to tell you and how painful or awful it may sound to you. Even though you're an optimist, an eternal optimist, all of us are as Christians, right? It's not, you have to listen first. Be slow to speak in that time frame. People may not be ready for it yet, but they're ready for a cheerful look, some compassion, some understanding, some empathy of maybe you don't understand, maybe you haven't lived through that they're going through. But being there beside them through it gives some relief, does it not? See, the beauty of a church is that we don't have to go through any of this life experience alone. You really don't. And there's nothing you can go through that we would judge or condemn, or maybe we haven't already gone through ourselves. But we know also that Jesus Christ went through it all. Before us, every road we walk down, he already walked that path. He totally understands us. He was a perfectly good human being with all the emotions and all the kind of things that all of us face. And God is quick to listen. And so are we. And we're slow to speak. Sometimes. Okay, so I got to keep talking, evidently. All right, so... How easy is it to just wait before you respond? Okay, good. We got some work to do. I'm known as the challenging pastor, oh, no doubt. So I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you. While someone's speaking and you're listening, you have to, first of all, let me backtrack. When someone's speaking, you have to intently tell yourself, I should be listening. I need to listen. This is a listening opportunity. Right? Okay, so you can touch your ears if you need to. People might go, what's going on? Oh, I'm just checking for my earrings, making sure they're on. And maybe you put your finger over your mouth. I'm fine. Yeah. Or we could do it an easier way. It's not so obvious to other people. Because now when you're hanging around with me and I'm going like this, you're going, oh boy, she's having a hard time. She's got to say something pretty soon. She's going to bust. while you're with another person and they're speaking to you, you look at them. You make eye contact. You focus only on them. And you look inside, not just at their eyes, but you look inside their soul. And then God moves in and through you for you to truly listen, not with just these ears, but the ears of God. See, we all have the Holy Spirit within us, and when we step into that Holy Spirit moment, by looking another person in the eyes, and intentionally just focusing in on them, everything else disappears around you. And that makes it easy to listen. Because it's God in you and through you that's allowing you to truly focus in on that person. Right then and there, that person is the only person that matters in that given moment. It could improve your relationships, by the way. How many times you have a conversation with someone side by side? On a couch, let's say, or right in the car. And you're talking to the windshield. Because you're driving, of course. But some serious comment is being made. Is that the time to have that serious conversation? When is it? When you stop somewhere and you sit and you look face to face with someone. I think humanity could be healed if we looked at people, as face to face. We saw this very often when we fed our homeless folks down at Demon's Landing. Look them in the face. They look back at us. We no longer saw someone with the label of homeless. We saw a human being in front of us who was in need. And love was transferred. We gave them soup, but we were really giving them God's love. And ready to listen. Ready to listen to what it is their life was about. How they got there. What they went through. And then we could speak about the hope that comes in God. So we're all going to be quick to, slow to. You want to go to the third one? You sure about that? Because sometimes when you really listen and you start to understand what a person's saying to you, maybe there's a little bit of a personal thing that happens within us, like if they're giving us constructive criticism, for example. We could be quick to get angry. Or maybe it's not that situation at all. We have to be slow to get angry. Now, how is that going to happen? I don't know. Good answer. Amanda's telling the truth over here. Put yourself in the other person's place. Walk in the other person's shoes. I have a personal belief that anger comes from a fear. Fear of some kind. Fear of loss. Something you're going to take from me. Something, a threat of some type. You're threatening my ego, of all things. Or something of the past that's been unresolved. I'm not angry about today. I'm angry about something else back here that you have nothing to do with. However, you're acting just like them, and therefore you're getting me angry. Striking a chord? Oh, okay. I guess we're also getting a lesson in honesty this morning. Confession is good for the soul. So when we could admit that sometimes there's stuff in us that we haven't resolved and we haven't forgiven and it hasn't been healed, that has nothing to do with when, right now. That's where anger can sometimes come from awfully quickly. Because it's something there right at the surface of us, emotionally speaking. And it's taking the place of love. See, love and fear cannot coexist. I don't believe they can. We're either going to act out of fear or act out of love. So which are we going to choose, church? So what encompasses love? Listening. Slow to get angry. Empathy. Caring more about another person than we care about ourselves. It's called selflessness. This is the example Jesus set, just in case you needed to know where I got this. Because I certainly can't do it by myself, I'll tell you that much. Whew. But we're here, remember we started this year doing everything in love. That's what this church is about, right? And remember we said we're going to follow the leader, right? We're going to follow our role model, who is Jesus Christ, by knowing what he did and how he lived and how he loved, right? Right? We're God's children, right? We're back to the beginning. We're God's children, so we should act like God. Act like children, yeah, sure. Perfect. And we sure do. I don't know about you, when's the last time you had a 3-year-old temper tantrum? Yesterday. Yes, and Jesus said, let the children come to me so I can help them grow into mature adults, right? Eventually we're going to get there, right? Aren't we? See, if we make a decision to truly say we want to be people who love like God loves, we make that decision. That's the first thing that happens. And then we have Christ in our heart, remember? Christ is the one that helps us be who we are supposed to be. We can't do it of ourselves. It takes God's Spirit in us, the Spirit of love, unconditional love for all people. Then we begin to truly act the way God wants us to act. We listen the way God listens to us. I don't know about you, but do you ever just like talk to God like a lot? Do you complain to God a lot? Why don't you fix those people? What are you doing up there? Why can't you make people less judgmental? Look how they are. If you really listen to people, they're fun. But that's not the kind of listening that gets us anywhere, is it? So let's practice, shall we? I hear the enthusiasm. How many of you have been misunderstood? How does that feel? Right. So how many of us have misunderstood other people? How does that feel? Not good. How about we do some things that help us understand others? And if you'll understand or seek to understand other people, and we seek to understand other people, and we seek to understand one another, would that be a better thing to do? Cool, we're moving in the right direction towards something good, aren't we? And if we know that if we misunderstand something, we can clarify it and make it right with another person, can't we? Right? Except in text. I don't know how you listen to a text. How do you possibly listen? I mean, let's think about it. One word phrase. Totally misunderstood. And when there's lots of exclamations, I don't know what that means. Are they upset with me or they're enthused? or they want to really be emphatic? Is that like a loud voice to me? Capital letters. Well, I need capital letters because I can't see the text half the time. So the bigger the letters, the better for me. See how it is? See how we don't always understand why people do what they do? Listen. No. We cannot adequately communicate with another person without being in their space. Face to face, or maybe on the telephone, at least you can hear their tone of voice. But relationships grow by face to face conversations, I believe. Heart to heart conversations. Not always deep, it doesn't always have to be deep. But you show an interest in somebody else by spending time with them too, don't you? And we often misunderstand each other because we're talking on the fly. How many times do you talk on the fly? I'll be back in 3 hours. See you later. Okay, I got to go. I'll be doing this. I'll be doing that. See you later. Bye. Well, huh? Get some milk on the way. Okay, I will. No, whatever. Huh? What did she say? Our world has gotten so rapid, so busy, so distracting. We're not listening to one another. We're not listening in the way that we try to understand one another, where they're coming from. And if we don't know where they're coming from, how can we possibly understand them? If we haven't walked in their shoes, if we haven't lived what they are explaining to us, and we're not seeing them as another human being that needs God and needs love, which is, I think, everybody needs universally, unconditional love, less fear, less judgment. Less separation. We're all in this together. Are you listening? How will I know you're listening? So the opposite of listening is not talking. It has to do with your focus and attention. Right? There's a beautiful song that says, "Listen to my heart." It's a song about speaking to God. When you can't hear what my mouth can't say, listen to my heart. Sometimes we can't explain what we're feeling, especially to God. And God's such a beautiful God that God listens to our heart, what's going on, what really matters. It's nice to know that, isn't it? And sometimes you don't even have to say a word to God, do you? God's listening. So that example of what God does is what I want us to do. Pay more attention to somebody else, what they have to say, than what you have to say to them. It'll improve your relationships with one another, with everybody else. And that anger thing, when we don't come from a place of what is this person taking from me, or I'm afraid of the threat of them, or I haven't gotten over forgiving another person in my past. I have nothing in today to be angry about. And if you need to express your anger, carry lots of paper with you. It's better than crushing somebody's spirit. Thing about angry words is that they're caustic and they're like acid and hurtful and harmful. Words in anger, and you might be right or justify that you're right, but does that help a relationship? What's our goal? Loving others. To love another person, we have to be gentle with them, soft with them, understanding with them, and be people of peace towards them, regardless of how they treat us. No small task. But the problem with acid is this, and acidic words, out of anger, they not only burn the other person, but they splash back on you too. Better to think something and take a piece of paper and deal with what's going on with your emotions, humanly speaking. Set it aside and get yourself calm. Yes, you could stop and pray. There's a pause there you could take before you react. Because you're going to be slow getting angry. See, when you slow down your emotions, they don't even happen. Yeah, look, a smile came. How did that happen? Quick to listen, slow to get angry. The long and the short of it is this: I want you to have a long string of patience. Oh, I didn't say this was going to be easy. Why else would it be a challenge? But is it easy with Christ in us? You need God's strength. In our weaknesses, God makes us strong. So it sounds to me like you have to be praying 24/7. Or at least when you're around other people. Or at least before you respond to a text or an email or a phone call. So, for example, if I call you and I hear a long pause, I'm going to know that you're praying before you answer me. And I'm like, yes, yes, God, yes. They didn't give me a piece of their mind this time. Wouldn't the world be a better place if we could be quick to listen, slow to speak, and definitely really slow to get angry? That's going to be us, right? Yes. We're going to ask God to help us, aren't we? Yes. It's going to be the power of God and the love of God in us and through us. It's going to cause us all to be children of God and be just like God. People who are slow to speak, slow to get angry, but oh, so quick to listen to people's hearts. Amen? Amen. Amen.